I did what I should, hung my stocking on a wall, didn't get a thing at all.
Hi, this is Erin.
This is Jessica.
This is episode 59 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Welcome.
Yay!
We may have some guest input today, because Audrey's here. Do you want to say hi to the podcast listeners?
No.
Nope. Okay, so... Oh my gosh, it's been a long time since we've done this.
I know.
You have a big, big, big long list.
I do.
So why don't you just, like, jump right into that?
Okay. Well, I'm done with my school quarter, so now I'm frantically knitting Christmas gifts.
Yay.
I know. Which, if I were smart, I would have just been knitting these in class.
Oh.
Like, over the quarter. But, no.
Didn't. Oh.
So I finished, last time I was talking about Slable, that was a woolly wormhead pattern knit out of Malabrigo sock. And I finished that and gave it to Hannah, and now I want to knit one for myself.
It's very cute.
I loved it so much. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw her wearing it. It's very pretty.
Yeah. And it was... You know, it's sock yarn, but it's on ones and threes, so mm-hmm. it didn't take as long. And I have a ton of yarn left, like, probably more than half a ball.
Oh, wow.
I haven't weighed it, but that's my guess from the chunk that's left over. So it hardly takes any yarn.
Cool.
And then I knit the Gaptastic cowl for Audrey's preschool teacher for her gift out of 128 Superwash.
That's
and it's
nice.
A free pattern. It's in, like, the most popular patterns.
Yeah.
And it's knit on 13s.
Is it just, like, a seed stitch cowl?
It's a seed stitch cowl. So you just cast on and knit seed stitch and
around
just,
and around
yeah,
so you can't take it anymore.
Yeah, or until you're out of yarn. So I have, like, you know, eyeballed it, and I have, like, maybe 2 yards left.
Awesome. So. I love a project that does that.
And I knit the Seattle Bloomtime Scarf, which is from One Skein Sock Yarn Wonders. Is that the name of it? 101?
Sock Yarn Wonders.
Sock Yarn Wonders. Yeah,
yeah. It's in the Judith Durant series.
Yeah. And that's knit out of Hazelnuts, one of her Rogue colorways that I got at the trunk show. It's sitting right there on the side table. and I knit right there.
Oh, there it is.
In the pile of stuff. It's for my mom. And that was actually pretty fast. It's on fives, so... And it's pretty repetitive, so I knit that in class, and that was good.
Okay.
And then I knit Windschief, or Windschief, I'm not sure. I like Windschief, because it's like mischief.
Or like handkerchief.
Yeah. I knit that for Noah, out of Black Rialto Erin.
Okay, yeah. That's a Stephen West pattern.
Yeah.
It's like a twisted stitch.
Mostly stockinette with some twisted, like, twisted ribbing.
Twisted ribbing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's been wearing that. Because he has large hair and a large head, I knit the largest size and made it, like, an inch deeper. So, and it goes down over his ears.
Cool.
So, yeah. And I knit the Burberry-inspired cowl. Jen was wearing hers that she knit out of one skein of twist. I got 2 skeins and knit that up.
And it's another free red. Pattern on
It's
Ravel.
A free pattern, yeah. And you just, it's kind of these cool cables and...
It's like a very loose...
Yeah, I knit it on, like, 10s.
Cable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the cable itself like, very... It's, like, an impression of a cable. It's not quite, like, a cable. It's very loose and... Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I knit that, and I've been wearing that a ton. That's in, like, one of the red colors of twist.
Okay.
And it's on 10s or 10.5s. So, now I'm working on a cool house hat for my mom's boyfriend. It's right here.
Is that some... In the that's in the showcase.
Yeah,
right.
Which is funny because that's what the pattern is written for.
Which one?
And it's the color of the pattern.
Oh, right.
Original, it's the red. So it's exactly like the original one.
But we had it on clearance at the shop at 70% off, which was insane. I bought a skein to do one for Wes also. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, so I had it sitting. I bought 2 skeins. I bought a skein of red and a skein of pink.
Mm-hmm.
Pink for to make something for Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
And the it's like super nice and
it's
I mean, gorgeous. Obviously, it's what the pattern is written for, so I've enjoyed knitting with it, and I'm on my last repeat before I start the decreases. I'm doing the man's size, so it's deeper.
It's a fun pattern, too.
Yeah, and I'm working on kindling for Audrey. I'm down past where I split the arms off.
Remind
it's
me
a
what kindling
free
is.
Pattern on Knitty. It's a little girl's top-down cardigan that has some cables on a reverse stockinette background.
Okay.
And some little baubles, and then the once you split the arms off, you switch to stockinette.
Okay.
So yeah, it's free, and I'm knitting in Cascade 220 Superwash in that heathery, new heathery purple, like the brighter
the darker purple.
Purple,
yeah. That's a pretty one.
Yeah, for her.
1960?
Yeah, that one. Because she loves purple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, as soon as I finished the Cool House hat, which is going to be soon, like tonight, I'm going to start Turbine, which I knit the whole thing, and it was too small.
Turbine is...
It's another woolly worm head pattern from the same cabled twisted woolly toppers.
Eva. Yeah, that's a great little booklet. Yeah. I was looking at it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Because that's what Slable was from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like reverse stockinette with these cables, or these sets of cables that kind of twist around. Mm-hmm. So it looks kind of like a turbine from the top. But I knit it for Noah's dad for his birthday, and it came out way too small. Like, I couldn't even get it on. So, and I used the needles and everything, and it was in Tosh Vintage, which is super nice in the green color, the kind of medium green color.
I don't remember what it's Grove called. Or
Tierra Vic? I think it's Grove.
Grove,
yeah. So I'm going to knit the medium size, because I think it's size larger because it's a man wearing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to knit the larger size and go up a needle size.
Oh, okay.
But that I've got it all set up to go because that's his Christmas present, so I have to get that done. So I'll cast that on tonight probably because this is super close to being done.
Cool.
Yep, that's it.
All right, nothing for you on your whip list right now. I guess it is the season.
Well, there's a ton of stuff that I started and is sitting there, but I'm not actively working on it, so I'm going to talk about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, since we last spoke, I finished my Carnaby, the skirt that I was doing.
I saw pictures. It's cute.
Yeah. So to finish it off, you crochet around the top edge, and I realized as I was sewing on the buttons that if the only thing that stood between me and being naked in public was my ability to sew on buttons, I needed a backup plan. So I actually stitched the skirt closed, except for the lat, like the top 6-7 inches and the bottom several inches too. Because I actually, as I started sewing it, I forgot I'm going to need to leave the top open so I can get into it.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart like that. And then I put a hook and eye closure. And then I finally wore it. I had had it sitting around for a while, and people kept going, "Are you ever going to wear that skirt?" And so I wore it, and other than all the people going, "You're wearing a skirt," I did get several compliments on it at work. Mary, our boss, who is not a skirt-wearing person, was like, "I don't care for knitted skirts at all, but that's really cute." And a couple of people were like, "I got to make one of those."
What did you knit that out of again?
It's this it's called Designer... No, wait. It's called Homespun Designer Tweed.
What's the fiber content? Like
it's all wool.
Oh, okay.
Or it might be... I mean, wool and maybe some Donegal. So it's because it's a tweed.
Right.
But, but then when I wore it... So I did tons of planning. Like, I spread it about, what to wear it with. And then I got tights... And I got a slip, a short, dark slip to wear under it. Mm-hmm. And then when I wore it, though, it did start to sag around the waist. So I ended up, finding a safety pin at work and pinning it a little bit. So I think I just need to put on a few more eyes, stage them inward so that as it stretches when I'm wearing it, I can just keep moving the hook and cinch it in a little bit. I mean, so it was I needed to take it in, an inch and a half or something by the end of the day. But it's comfortable, and it was cute, and I liked it. So,
excellent.
There we go. I did a little gift knitting myself. I just, I'd been getting all these compliments at work. I have a pair of mitts that I made years ago in a Nancy Bush class that are, the easiest mitts in the world, and everybody loves them. Yeah, so I decided I would do some for my best friend's daughters for Christmas. So they're just sideways garter stitch. In the original pattern, I think we did a provisional cast on, and then you knit garter until you're halfway around the hand, and you basically make a buttonhole for the thumb, keep knitting until you get to the end, and then Kitchener it together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even bother with provisional cast on. I just did sort of a half, I don't even know what you call it, where I Kitchener to the cast on edge. So I did that. I did a pair each other in leftover half skeins of Malabrigo worsted. And both of them were I think I had 45 grams. So I made them really short, though. So I cast on 30 stitches, and then I knit until I thought it would be... I think I knit 16 ridges, and then knit 6, bound off 6, knit the rest, came back, cast on 6... And then
to make the thumb hole.
To make the thumb hole.
Yeah.
But if I were, I don't know, a more diligent knitter, I would have pulled out my knitter's almanac and done the one row buttonhole.
Oh, right, right.
Because it's just such a nicer buttonhole. The corners are just tight.
The self-reinforcing buttonhole.
Yeah.
One row self-reinforcing buttonhole. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's just so much nicer.
I can never remember how to do it without looking at the instructions.
I always have to look it up. Even Meg at camp, when she's teaching it, has to have someone read her the steps from the knitter's almanac.
Unlike Kitchener, which I can just do.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a problem.
No.
Even though they're, like,
there's just more setup to it, and then there's, like, a few things you have to remember. Like, there's some stitches
you
that have to get twisted. And then you got to remember, oh, you cast on an extra stitch, and then just all these little things that you have to remember to do. But it is a much nicer buttonhole, and I'm just a lazy person who didn't want to take the book off the shelf. locate the book and then take it off the shelf. So I knit two pairs of those, and I think I literally used about 45 grams of Malabriga worsted on each one. Nice. And they're petite, but they're for children. So if I were doing them for a grown-up, I might, you know, cast on 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 more stitches, depending how deep you want them. But I have these ones that are in a buffalo merino blend that are done just like that, although on much smaller needles. They're I think mine were knit on, like, 2s. Or 3s, although it's kind of a fluffy yarn, but, and I get so many compliments on them at the shop, and it's just, like, I kind of have this, like, these old things attitude about them.
Yeah.
Because it's such a simple, simple thing to do. I also knit a hat for my hairdresser. I'm not one of these people. I felt really bad. I left the kids' guitar lesson yesterday, and the next student was coming in with this giant wrapped present for the guitar teacher, and I thought, was I supposed to do that? Sorry. I'm terrible about that. Like, I never remember to give gifts to, like, my mail carrier or anyone. I barely remember to give gifts to my immediate family. I'm awful about it.
I realized Thursday that Christmas was this coming weekend, so...
Oops! And then, but I decided a long time ago I was going to knit a hat for my hairdresser. She's been cutting my hair for, I think, about 8 years. And she's always, you know how you have people in your life who are, like,
actually interested in
what you knit, and she's always asking about what I've got on and what I'm doing.
That's like my mom's boyfriend, which is why he gets a cool
house. So, yeah. I don't know, although she's very, you know, she's just a very elegant person. She's very chic and stylish, and so I was worried that if I knit her something that it would be too, like, homey for her. So I tried to pick something that was kind of, like, cool-ish, a little more trendy. So I actually picked the slouch. I think it's called the slouchy copycat hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free pattern on Ravelry, and it's meant to sort of mimic the type of hat that, like, celebrities had been spotted in. Like, so it's a little mock cable pattern stitch. It's very...
Sorry about the background noise. Audrey and Noah are having an argument conversation. any conversation with the 3-year-old is almost an argument.
Ditto the 13-year-old, so there you go. Anyway, so it's done. I did it in a yarn. So I just, like, one day I left the hairdresser's and I'm like, I should knit Christina something. And then I drove past a neighboring yarn shop that was having a sale, and I ended up buying yarn at their shop for it. And so it's a yarn that's called Evento, I think, by Lana Grossa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wool cotton blend.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very strange texture. It's very fluffy, fuzzy. I've stared at it. I don't even understand the construction of the yarn, but it's in a gray, a light gray. So I think it looks pretty cool. It came out really nice. It's very soft. So I did that. The ribbon cable socks, I think I had mentioned I had started those last time. I finished the first one. I've got the second one on the go. I was saying at knitting the other day, like, I just never knit on the cornflower shawl. And Sharon said, does it have slip stitches in it? And then I was like, yes, why? and she's totally right.
Yeah.
It's I'm so close to be.
And like, you're way further than I am.
I'm like two repeats away from knitting the edging, and I don't know what it is. And it's more like a mental thing. Like when I'm knitting it, I enjoy it. It's lovely, but somehow I'm always like, oh, the cornflower. But I have this old shawl that I keep in my car It's the Wool Peddler Shawl from Folk Shawls by Cheryl Riley that I knit a really long time ago. And I keep it in my car in the winter just for those moments where you think, gosh, I'm cold. And sometimes even, like, my drive to work is so short that the heat doesn't...
It's like, 7 minutes or something?
The heat doesn't kick in my car, really, until, like, just as I get to the shop. So a lot of times, and a lot of my driving around town is like that, where I just, you know, it's I live right in the center of the city. I don't drive very far generally.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll put it in my lap when I'm driving, just to kind of keep myself warm in the morning. But I was wearing it one day. At knitting, because we were really cold at knitting. We were sitting by the window, and I started thinking, I need some more of these. Like, I knit all these litty bitty little fingering weight shawls.
Some big
shawls. But I need, like, a big worsted weight, like, really heavy, warm shawl. And so then I have this really pretty BFL Aran that I bought at the stash sale at my retreat that's from Fleece Artist. It's gorgeous. And I realized, oh, I have the Olet shawl, which one of our listeners, Nitty Barb, on Ravelry, gave me as a gift last year. And I was like, oh, perfect. But I couldn't find the needles. And I'm running around, where are the needles? Where are they? And then I remembered I had a shawl that I started last winter that I was going to do as a gift that I changed my mind about that I never even entered in Ravelry. That is the 198 Yards of Heaven pattern. And I started it in a single skein of Eco Duo from Cascade, which is merino alpaca. And then I was like, oh, there it is. And I was going to just take the needles, but then I started staring at the shawl and I was like, maybe I'll knit this instead. So I've been knitting that. And now actually last night I was like, oh, I'm ready to knit the edging, but gee, I don't have that much yarn. And, anyway, so I was looking at the shawl. Oh, last night I was thinking, oh, I'm all ready to do the edging now. Gee, there's not a lot of yarn here. Huh. I wonder if I'm going to make it. And then I started to knit the first row of the edging, and the pattern didn't work out at all. And then I looked back at the pattern and realized you're supposed to knit a full repeat of the pattern, and then half a repeat of the pattern, and then the edging, but I knit two full repeats. So I had to rip out, like, a ton.
But you're going to have enough yarn knit?
Yeah, I'll be able to finish. But it was just so annoying. It was like, oh, all that wasted knitting. Plus, Eco Duo does not rip out nicely. It's really fuzzy, really sticky yarn, it was a pain to rip out. So,
sucks.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
Excellent.
Yes.
So before I forget, I have a couple of announcements.
Yeah.
Nitty Barb has a podcast now.
Oh, she does.
Two Knitlet Chicks. It's her and her daughter. They talk about knitting and, like, a lot of audiobooks.
Oh.
So it's good. I've been listening to it. Hi, Barb. And Tracy, her daughter. Hi. And then I got an email from Fitter Knitter on Ravelry, and she every year has been doing this calendar of hope. And it's to support breast cancer research, and I think you can purchase it now. I think it's $18, and it's dishcloths. You get, like, 12 or 13. I think it's a 13-month calendar.
Okay.
And you get, like, a little dishcloth, I was going to say recipe pattern, with that. And you can find out more at her website. It's fitterknitter.com. And then I wanted to say hi to Kathy, who came into the shop. She's a listener. She's like, your voice sounds really familiar. I was like, oh, yeah. That's me.
Hey.
I think your name was Kathy. I might be totally wrong, but I think it was Kathy. So that was last weekend. So
okay.
I've had a final, like, finals and two papers to write since then. My brain's kind of shot. Sorry.
Well, should we talk about our big project for 2012?
Yes, let's do that.
And when I say our, I mean Aaron's, because basically
this is my
brainchild. This was her brainchild, and she just said, oh, this is what we're doing. And I said,
yeah.
Okay.
So 2012 is going to be the Finnish Frog and Slug Along.
Yay!
And Jody was like, you totally need to do that, because I have lots of projects to finish. And that, since I've been in school and just starting lots of little things, I have for me, a sizable amount. So
yeah, which means for the rest of us, not much at all.
Like six, including my giant square shawl. It's halfway done.
Okay.
I took it on the retreat last year.
It's like that. Oh, that one. Yeah. Oh, the...
it's halfway done, and that's going to be big.
Knits?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all in its own little bag, which is not even part of my stash, so...
It's in its separate zone.
That's not that
the
bad.
Hibernation box.
So... There will be monthly prizes, just like in other, if you've ever done any of the other, like, year-long things. There will be a prize every month, or prizes.
So basically the idea is to conquer all those hibernating, long-gestating projects.
Or I'm not sure. long-gestating. And the thing about the slog along is, like, you can start projects within the year, and they become slogs.
Yes.
Which happens a lot, like sweaters.
Yes.
Or blankets, or, you know, scarves. Like, whatever. Cornflower shell.
I'm sure everyone's gonna be, now it's just gonna be a chance for everyone to breathe down my neck even more about, like, how's that giant laughing mitten cardigan coming
along? Leaves.
Ah!
Yay!
I have plenty of other projects that have been on the needles way longer than that. Why doesn't anyone ever ask me how my, Intarsia felted bag from Nikki Epstein's coming along?
Didn't even know about that.
I'm gonna frog you that. I don't even want anybody to ask me about that. There's no way. Oh, actually, I can't even frog it. I think I, like, wove in all the ends.
Oh.
I wove them in as I went. Well, because if I didn't,
yeah,
it would
exactly.
have been, like, a nightmare.
A bajillion to do.
I think I just need to take it off the needles, like, just cut, take it off the needles, and throw it away.
You can do that.
I can
It's
do
part
that.
Of our challenge. So, I'm going to say, I'm going to start a thread on Ravelry about it, with general guidelines, and then go ahead and start a thread for January, because I have, like, 2 weeks... And it's going to be crazy. A lot of stuff to get done in the 2 weeks that I don't have class. So, I thought in December, for the rest of the month until we get into the new year, if you want to, like, count up your stuff or kind of decide if you want to take part or whatever, we'll have some chatter about it on the thread.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in January, it's a place for everyone to go and, like, say, like, oh, hey, I finished this, or I've ripped it out because I decided I was never going to finish it. Or I'm slogging along on this. And instead of having, like, finished pictures, you can just say, oh, I knit, like, 3 inches of my sweater or my blanket.
Yeah.
It's progress on a slog. Or here's a pile of yarn from the thing I ripped out.
Yes.
Or if you finish something, you can post a picture of
that. Here it is in the trash.
Yeah. Yay! So that's the 2012 project.
Yay.
I like it. I think it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, look forward to that, and there will be prizes. And if you are a purveyor of yarn or a pattern writer or anything and you want to donate prizes, just, like, PM one of us or both of us or whatever, and we'll kind of organize everything. And as we think of more guidelines or problems come up or whatever, we'll post on the board about that. So, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'll have, like, finished stuff.
I will probably be just frogging a lot of stuff that I'm in denial about, but...
Well, then you won't have to be in denial about that
That's
anymore.
True. I won't. So, I'll have to confront my demons.
Yay. That's a good thing to do in 2012 for a new year.
Okay. You say so. All right. So what have you been watching, she says, knowing the answer?
The Vampire Diaries.
Right.
It's on watch instantly. And to be fair, I've watched one movie since we recorded last.
Oh my gosh, really?
Because I've been so busy with school. And I, like, haven't been home. Like, hardly at all. So, I need something really, really...
So, okay.
That I don't have to pay attention
Tell
to
me,
at all.
I'm old.
Okay.
I know it's a popular show.
It's on the CW,
which
is kind of...
So what is the premise of the show?
So there's a girl in a small town called Mystic Falls, and she meets this guy, and, strange thing. This guy comes back to town, and then these strange things start happening, and they, like, kind of get together, and she finds out he's a vampire, of course. And then his brother shows up. They're both vampires. And there's, like, this backstory of, like, the girl who looks exactly like the main girl, like, years and years ago. Both the brothers were involved with, and she was a vampire and turned them both for whatever reasons I don't know yet. And there's some witchcraft in there with the best friend of the main girl.
So it's kind of like True Blood for tweens.
Yeah, and they have, like, special rings that they can wear so they can go out in the sun.
Oh, okay.
And other random crap that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's based on some book series, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't really care to read. But it's really funny, and they're like, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes long. I mean, and they try to be all like, it's basically Twilight, but slightly skewed.
I was going to say snarkier.
Yeah.
So what was the movie?
Did you draw me? Imitation of Life.
Which one?
The one with Claudette Colbert.
The original.
The original one, yeah. It was super good, and it totally made sense within the context of my class. It just happened.
Yeah.
My Black Modernism and Internationalism class. So it's the same time period, and I read this book, which the author of that book was friends with the author of the book of Imitation of Life. So I had a lot of the same kind of, like, relationships between blacks and whites, and, like, the whole passing, racial passing thing, and, like, a lot of that stuff was very similar, and I didn't even, like, reorder my Netflix queue or anything to have.
It just
happened that way, and it was really good, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god.
You have to see the 50s version. It's Douglas Sirk, I think, starring Lana Turner, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for every way that the Claudette Colbert version is just, like, sublime and awesome, it is gaudy and horrible. But in a hilarious, wonderful sort of way, like, in a really, like, technicolor melodrama. But,
Claudette it was Colbert. Good, and I had it for a couple weeks before I watched it, and I was like, why didn't I watch this before? It's good.
Yes.
I also watched a very short film, Un Chien Andalou, which is a surrealist film by Salvador Dali, and what's the other guy's name?
Luis Buñuel.
Yeah. It's like 15 minutes long, and it's on Watch Instantly.
Yes.
The beginning is very disturbing, and it makes no sense because it's surrealist, so...
You've probably all seen
the knife just
from it, like the blade cutting the eyeball, and I mean there's I mean once you see it it's like, oh, this, right?
And then it's like in a bunch of music.
Yeah,
there's a Pixie song called Debaser which is based on it, and now that song totally makes sense, like, and the fact that it doesn't make sense because it's about that movie, but I'm like, oh, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in surrealism, you can watch that 15-minute film.
I went through a big Buñuel kick when I was in college. Kind of worked my way through. I thought I had seen, like, almost everything he'd done, but then I was looking more recently on IMDb, and there's a lot of his films that I guess I haven't seen, but I'm not sure if they're
widely available. Were they not available?
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it. I'm sure some of them are still not available, but, Well, I've seen 3 films in the theater since the last time we talked, and they were all in a single weekend.
Whoa.
Thanksgiving weekend, movie weekend for the Rose Kims. We went to see The Muppets on Wednesday night, because I am the world's biggest Muppet fan.
I was going to tell you, did you see Threadless has a crap ton of Muppet shirts?
I have the Mosaic one already.
Okay.
I got one for myself.
I was looking at it because I got my Welcome to Twin Peaks t-shirt.
I love that, yeah.
It's a map of Twin Peaks. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Jessica knows about this.
Yeah, here's some really cute ones. But I was nervous, though, because I thought, like, oh, God, what if they don't? Because I had read about, like, Frank Oz declined to be involved in the making of the film, that he didn't like the script that he was shown, and he felt like it was not in the spirit of Jim Henson and not in the spirit of the Muppets, and I was really worried about it, because you probably all know Jason Segel stars in it, and he wrote the script for it too, but I love Jason Segel, and I have to say it was so in the spirit of the Muppets. I really felt like it was, and the whole premise of the show is it's about this kid, a guy, Walter, and his brother, who's played by Jason Segel, and that all Walter ever really wanted was to, like, see the Muppets and to be involved with them. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's totally who I was when I was a kid. Like, I lived the Muppets. I just loved them so much. So much. Like, I had Kermit the Frog sheets, and I had a Miss Piggy bath towel, and I had a Muppet sleeping bag, and my walls were covered in Muppet posters. I was, like, Muppet kid.
That's
anyway,
really
so the movie... I thought was great. I cried several times during the movie. And my kids loved it, though. Everyone in the audience seemed to love it. I mean, like, everyone applauded when it ended. Mm. It was just, I thought it was great. Hannah at work thought it was terrible.
Yeah, she didn't like it.
She said it wasn't funny, and I told Mary, I think that's just evidence she has no soul. What kind of heartless beast didn't enjoy that movie? She's like, tell me one thing that was funny about it. I was like, all of it? It was all funny. It was awesome. Anyway, so, and then we went to see Hugo, which is a Martin Scorsese adaptation of The Invention of Hugo Cabret, which is a book by Brian Selznick. I read the book, whatever. Invention of Hugo Cabret. Shut up. The morning before the movie, because it's like half pictures. It's a big, big book, but yeah. it's a lot of illustrations. Yeah. And I didn't care for the film. I feel like I'm one of the only people who didn't, though. It's winning all these awards and everybody loves it. But I felt like it was too polished, like, too everything. Like, the book is very, has a much grittier texture to mm-hmm. it. I mean, literally has, like, because all the illustrations are done as this sort of, like, charcoal or pencil sketches. Mm-hmm. And the film, everything's, like, blue and gold and shiny and sparkly. And they added in this whole comedic character played by Sacha Baron Cohen that I thought was just, like, cringe-inducing, was just mm-hmm. silly. Anyway, I didn't care for it. I thought it was far too long for a children's film. It runs over 2 hours.
Oh, and, that is long.
You know, an hour and 45 minutes into it, everyone in the theater starts shifting in their chairs, and people start checking their text messages, and I had to tell two different people to put away their phones.
I hate it when people do that.
I know, I do too. But, you know, my kids, I mean, I could tell my kids were getting restless. It went too long. But then the next day, I took just my youngest son to see Puss in Boots, because mm-hmm. Wes and my older son were at a concert. And we both loved it. I was going thinking, oh, you know, whatever, it'll kill an hour and a half. It was really cute. I mean, it doesn't have very high aims, you know? It's just trying to be like 30 minutes of entertainment. But it was 30 minutes of entertainment. It was really... it was just silly and fun.
I think we're going to take Audrey to that for her first movie on her birthday.
Oh, okay.
That was in the running.
Yeah. It's
PG.
Yeah, it gets... I don't know how she reacts.
She's seen Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, okay.
And she's okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, because it gets a little dark. I mean, but it's very silly.
And Ponyo. She's seen that, too.
I haven't seen that one.
Or Ponyo.
Oh, Ponyo.
Ponyo.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I wasn't watching it with an eye thinking about a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
I really wish
they would have.
It's really quickly paced.
Yeah. Okay.
We saw it in 2D because 3D is just, I'm so sick of 3D. But it's cute. And it, for me, a lot of the stuff, I mean, for my son, the stuff that he liked about it was that, you know, there was just a lot of really silly business and it was funny. But what I liked about it was it had this sort of wink toward all the spaghetti westerns. Old Mexico Western, and it played with some film. It really played around with like film conventions.
I was trying to figure out what to take her to for her first movie, mm-hmm. and someone said that she took
her. Muppets would be awesome.
Yeah, because
the Muppets. I mean, there's no darkness in the Muppets.
Okay.
It's very gentle. It's silly.
We'll talk
it's
about
fun.
It.
But Puss in Boots is a little. The humor might go over her head if she was a little older. She might get the humor a little bit more.
Right.
And then it is kind of...
She just likes cats a lot.
Oh, okay. It's a little dark, though.
Okay.
So,
I will talk about it.
There's villains and...
It might be easier to find the Muppet movie playing around.
And the villain in the Muppet movie is...
She
does
like puppets.
Yeah.
So.
The Muppets are awesome. gotta start them young. Come on. Anyway, so those are the movies that I saw. And then I was just reminded, I watched the first disc of season 2 of Bored to Death, because I see you have season 1 here from the library.
Yeah.
I just watched that last night, and I just love that show. It's just...
It's like, hilarious.
It's just so silly.
I've only seen parts of it, because I would come home after class, and Noah would be watching it, and I'm like, what's this? This is weird. Oh, wait, this is awesome. Is that Ted Danson?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just so light and silly and full of people that I enjoy, like, Jason Schwartzman.
Because Noah loves Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then John Hodgman is in it, mm-hmm. and Oliver Platt. And but it's just, it's so light. It's so silly. It's like one of these shows where, like, nothing has any consequences, but it's just really fun.
Yeah.
It's sort of this fantasy of New York. I like it.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you are interested, I know people out there are interested in, like, costume dramas, like BBC Masterpiece Theater stuff. The Foresight Saga is no one watching silly.
Oh, okay.
It's the newer one, not the older one.
Okay.
And it's good. It's a 6-part, I think it's 6 episodes that are all about an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
The first one's a little bit longer. But it's on there, and I watched the first episode, but I've seen it before, so.
Right. And Downton Abbey starts up again in January on PBS.
Yay! Hopefully they'll put on that on and watch instantly as quickly as they did last time.
Well, they put it on PBS.org also fairly fast. Because I think I watched it on PBS.org before it ended up on Watch Instant.
Season 1. Remind myself of all the craziness that happened.
And then, I think, yeah, because, like, when Sherlock was on in Case Histories, I watched most of those on PBS.org. And I think they were on there, or I know they were on there before they went on to Watch Instant.
Cool.
Yes.
I have a list of books.
You have a long list of books.
Well, because it's school.
Yeah.
So I read 2 M.A. Césaire books. One is his essay called Discourse on Colonialism, which is, like, his most famous essay about how, colonialism is bad. And
surprise!
How, surprise! Basically how it either assimilates a culture or destroys it, or both. And I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it in 1955. So, when he was older. The other thing I read was Notebook of a Return to the Native Land,
mm-hmm.
which is his surrealist, like, epic poem about him returning from school in France, because he's from Jamaica. He went to school in France to go to college, and then coming back and trying to reconcile himself to, like, being a black Jamaican and being educated and mm-hmm. not, like, the black Jamaicans that he was seeing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trying to figure out that and how, you know, politics and his family and, like, trying to, like, get all that stuff together and be like, you know, This is my ancestry type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Discourse was written later, and there's a really good essay or interview in the back with him when he's talking about surrealism and, like, all this stuff and Notebook. So, I like them. They're both quite short. They're both, like, 80 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. If you're interested in it, I mean, I did have to read it for school, but I felt like I learned a lot from it. That
cool.
I didn't know before. So I read Banjo by Claude McKay. I might have been reading that last time we recorded. It's super long, and it's basically the subtitle. It's Banjo, the novel without a plot. There's nothing happens. It's these guys who are, like, black guys from all over the world who were sailors. They just, like, go to Marseille
mm-hmm.
and, like, slum it, basically. They just kind of kick around and drink booze and drink wine and panhandle for money and, like, mooch off of other people and, like, talk about stuff that's happening. Like, they, yeah. So they talk about, like, how Americans treat blacks versus, like, blacks in Africa are treated. So mm-hmm. it's, like, it all went with the course theme, but it took me a long time to finish. I read, like, 2/3 of it and then had to just, like, sit down and force myself to finish it because nothing happens. Like, that is the book.
Yeah.
And then I read Tell My Horse by Zora Neale Hurston, which is a travelogue. It's like, she wrote it in the 30s. And it's a travelogue about her. She's from the South. She goes to Jamaica and Haiti. And basically, she travels around to learn about voodoo.
Mm.
So there's, like, sections that are political, and there are sections that are just about, like, about the politics of Haiti and voodoo, and, like, or politics of Haiti and Jamaica and, like, different countries' involvement
mm-hmm.
and how that kind of helped along the voodoo culture. And then she talks about voodoo, like, oh, these things in Africa, like I think it was like jaguar whiskers or something, they were used as a poison. Like, you would chop them up and put them in people's food, and it would put holes in their intestines. That being transferred to the horsehair. Like, people chop up horsehair and put it in people's food to do the same thing. So it's, like, figuring out what in voodoo came from, like, other cultures. Mm-hmm. And also what just sprang up out of the culture itself. So that's really interesting. Secret societies and a whole section on zombies. I know. I was super excited to read it. And it was really good. And it's not that long, and it's very conversational, so it's super easy to read. Unlike some of the other stuff I had to read for that class. And I've been listening at work to Helter Skelter.
Oh, the,
The Bugliosi.
Oh, yeah. I was obsessed with that when I was a kid.
I know. I haven't read it, and I want to read it after listening to it, but the narrator, this guy, is super good, and it's like 23 hours long.
Yeah. So. I read that when I was, I don't know, like, probably like, no, I must have been a sophomore in high school, because I was totally...
I don't know why I didn't read it, because I was totally obsessed with, like, because Jim Jones was, like, he had the People's Temple up in my area.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of, like, Richard Allen Davis, who kidnapped and murdered Polly Klass, like, he came up through there.
Yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of craziness that happens in rural Northern California.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I never read that, because it totally seems like something I would read, because I went through a whole period of, like, just wanting to read and find out about all that,
like,
stuff.
Crazy killers, yeah. And stuff. The thing that obsessed me was just trying to understand, like, how these people... So Helter Skelter is about the Manson murders.
The Manson murders, yeah.
And just trying to and it's written by the prosecutor.
Yeah.
The case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, but for me, just trying to understand how these people got to a place in their life where they would do whatever they were told by this person, no matter how completely insane.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to murder these people and start a race war. I was working at the library at the time, and we had a book that was written by, like, a psychologist that was sort of delving into that. So I read that, and then I think I read a couple of other background books on the case, too. Like, you know, some dealing more specifically, like, with the women in the Manson family. Mm-hmm. And so I still, like, whenever they come up for parole, I'm always really interested in it. That was one of those
super
things.
Super fascinating.
Yeah, it's such a crazy, impossibly implausible story that is true. It's just the most riveting thing. It's just, and I'm not generally someone who's into stories about death and murder and serial killing, but it's so, it's still just such a mind-bending thing that it happened.
Yeah, the part to me that's super interesting is when he discusses how he came up with his, like, philosophy, like, with the Beatles and with the Bible.
Manson, yeah.
And, like, that synthesis of things, like, what the hell?
Well, you know? Someone who's mentally ill.
I mean, I know he's
clearly, like, schizophrenic.
So just, like, taking all those things and being like, oh, yeah, obviously the Beatles are speaking to me through their music.
Right.
You know?
Well, again, though, it's like, he's got a mental illness. That is, like, that's obvious. He, you know, he thinks he, you know, this, all this, you know, the Book of Revelations and the Beatles and all this stuff is coming together to give him this message. But that he gathers a large group of people around him that he then convinces that his own delusions are true and convinces them to do the most appalling things. That's the part that's just like, I can't understand. It's like, I understand how someone can be, you know, mentally ill and think crazy things are true, but to usually you aren't able to then convince sane, rational people that your delusions are real.
Yeah.
That's the part I can't get over. And then, and then as part of my being obsessed with it, one of the things I also loved as a child, I don't know what this is about me, I think it's because I went to a school where we did, like, Shakespeare plays when we were in elementary school, and my sister's class did Macbeth, Mm-hmm. And I've always loved Macbeth. And then we studied Macbeth when I was a sophomore in high school. So for extra credit, I proposed that we watch the Polanski version of Macbeth, which was the first film he made. So Sharon Tate, his wife, was one of the victims of the Manson killings. She was like 8 months pregnant when she was murdered. Yeah. And so this is the first film he made after their deaths.
Oh.
And it, I think it's impossible. I mean, it informs so much on the, I mean, it's.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean.
I also want to watch Valley of the Dolls again because she was in that.
Oh, right. I mean, apparently a terrible actress, but, but yeah, so it's just, it was definitely like a real obsession of mine when I was,
Yeah, so now I want to read it. Hannah was telling me that I should read it because it's got crime scene photos in it.
That was the part I couldn't quite handle.
You know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's so fascinating. But, yeah, you should watch Polanski's Macbeth. Have you ever seen it?
No, I don't think so.
It's, I mean, he makes a lot of, I mean, it's really bloody. It's, I mean, he chooses to make, I mean, there's no reference to it, I don't think, in the play itself. He chooses to make Lady Macduff pregnant when she's killed with her children.
Poor dad, and so bad.
Yeah, it's kind of, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
super
thing,
good, though. It's really well written.
Yeah.
And if you want to listen to it on audio, like, I got it from Audible, but the narrator is super good, so... Because sometimes it's hit or miss with those people. So I think that's it.
Cool.
I have a note for the new nitty, but we're already like...
Yeah.
The new nitty's
There's
out.
New nitty.
You,
it's awesome.
You've probably
Go
seen
check it.
It
out.
Yeah. So count up your whips and stuff, and I'll get the threads going for the finished frog and slog along.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you want to take part. We'll have good prizes. I think I know what I want the January one to be.
Okay.
So.
Yay!
So thanks for hanging in. I would like to actually record again soon.
Okay.
Get another one out before I get all crazy with school. Yeah.
Alright.
So I think that's
if I'm not too crazy with moving the shop.
Yeah.
So I wanted
to say one more thing. You all know that my sister's in Ethiopia and now she has a blog and you can get to it through her Ravelry page. She's one square bird. And her blog is called Birdie Bird's Bloggy Blog. But it's really interesting. And not just because she's my sister, but I think she's pretty funny. The stuff she writes about is pretty funny. And interesting because she's, you know, living in this country that I don't know that much about. Except they have macchiatos. And injera. Yum. So, yeah. That's it. Okay. So, that's it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And happy holidays.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Said be good, so I did what I should. Hung my stocking on the wall, didn't get a thing at all. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year. Well, stayed up late at night to see Santa Claus, right? Sure enough, don't you know that boy didn't show. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year. Well, tried to get a little kiss from a pretty little miss. She slapped me down, said to jerk, this cold doesn't work. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last week. All right! Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't